Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back. We have smiles upon our faces. You have smile upon your face watching this. Andy, before we get into everything, patrons, mwah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your support at IS Roma Press on social media. If you want to join the chaos, that is a Patreon and the group chat. If you want to join the other degenerates like ourselves who put ourselves through the hell of watching the Wednesday evenings at Chievo Verona. For nights like tonight, patreon.com/RomaPress. Now, Roma, first off, Roma, they eliminate Milan, they go to a European semifinal. How many years in a row is this? Pinch me.
Because this can't be fifth real. European semifinal in 6 years. Fifth European semifinal in 6 years. Fifth consecutive one. Yeah. Nobody like Roma in Italy. Nobody.
No. I don't even know where to start. There's so many things, because there's obviously the thing, the big thing that happened prior to the match. I had recorded something for the patrons, but I never published it because I felt as if I would be doing the jinx and or the reverse jinx by even commenting on it. I don't know if that was like a Dan Friedkin. Listen, I don't know how to play chess. I don't know if you do. I don't know if that was like a level 4D chess move by Dan Friedkin to announce Daniele De Rossi as the permanent manager. The psychological part of that we can get into. Let's just go with the reaction. So Roma, again, they win 3-1 on aggregate. They eliminate Milan. It is, I don't know if it is a testament to simply Daniele De Rossi, but this is one of those times where you have to at least in passing mention the other guy, who I still hold all the esteem for. But when you have two matches go in the manner which they did in this tie against Milan, I am hard-pressed to not, as almost a reflex, compare these two games in the span of 1 week to the other two of the earlier this season. Again, that is a testament to De Rossi, to the players. It's a testament to everybody. What is your initial reaction of this result? Because we expected this to be hard. I thought Roma had the chance. I thought they had a chance. It was difficult. And I want to impress this upon everybody, especially now, because obviously it is easy to have revisionist history. I watched these two matches, Andy. These two performances over the past week. The character, the concentration, the application of what the manager is asking of the players. And I compare it to the previous two matches against Milan this season. The first one at home, early in the season, you have the hype of Romelu Lukaku being presented just after acquiring the guy on the transfer market. Okay, I can in at least a partial way write that one off. But the massacre of January was still living so vividly in my mind that I don't know how anybody in good conscience could have felt if you were witness to those previous two matches, how you could have in good conscience felt comfortable or have even predicted this, Roma progressing by essentially 3 goals. That last one, come on. I don't know how you could have ever realistically expected this turnaround, but Roma did it. It's a testament to so many things. First, Dan Friedkin, Ryan Friedkin. The first time they had to sack a manager during the season, obviously chose right. Obviously, Daniele De Rossi righting the ship, the players wanting to at least turn things around, not feeling as if the season was a lost cause. I mean, in a more big picture sort of sense, where do you come out on this one? Because we will obviously react to the match in just a moment here, but I am just struck. Nobody ever could have pictured this 3 months ago. Okay, 3 months ago, it seemed like the end of the world. It seemed like the season was already over. We were beginning the death march. We were having to do the eulogy of the season in February, in late January. And it seemed like one of those things where we were talking of the transfer market in February. We're talking of sporting directors, who's going to be gone, everything. Nobody ever could have envisioned this happening in this moment 3 months ago. And there is a bit of at least catharsis, irony, perhaps a better word, in everything changed because of that Milan loss in January. And then to be here just a few months later, seeing Roma outclass them in both matches. I have the Zone on right now in the background. The Italian version of the Zone going right now. I haven't been able to listen to what the bald guy says. I don't care what he says. If he echoes the same stuff last week where he says we were unlucky, it was very bad. No. You couldn't. You had 60 minutes against Roma with a one-man advantage, and you did nothing. You did nothing. And in fact, you ended the match with an XG lower than that of Roma. Take the bald guy, send him out. I don't care if he won the Scudetto. I don't care if Florenzi has a Scudetto. All of this stuff. Send him out. And by the way, listen, man. I don't know if you got incensed. I had to really measure myself because I was doing, I did a very brief appearance at halftime during on a very small radio, and I had to measure myself because they kept replaying the reaction of Tomori when Zeki Selik got the sending off, and
at the 30th minute,
watching him sort of lead the charge of all of the moaning and the crying of Milan. If Jan's Bangsbo is somehow watching this and he finds a way to metabolize that scene, make it from a solid into a liquid, and if he is we know he's good at injecting things. If he can turn that into liquid form, so I can inject it directly into my veins to sustain me for the rest of my life, I will be eternally grateful. It does. You don't even have to make gear anymore, Jans. I'm just asking for you to bottle that.
Absolutely. That
for me. I don't even know like where to begin with this because
you've already taken a shot at it.
I know, but here, let's start with this, okay? Because the bald guy, again, I have the Zone on right now. I'm listening to I see some of the nonsense being spoken right now. The bald guy can't come out here again and say this was balanced, we were unlucky. No. Okay, I can accept your delusion after one match as much as I may disagree with it. No, not tonight. You did nothing against 10 men. Zero. You did zero.
Against a team of 10 men led by a rusty Tammy Abraham who is called upon at the 30th minute to come in, less than 30 minutes into the match, to come in and replace Romelu Lukaku. Tammy Abraham, who, you know, despite perhaps responding well in training, we've seen it before. These injuries, they take time, and instead you throw him into the mix. On this occasion, we're talking about a team that, again, you would not believe that what we've been witnessing for the past few years in terms of European competitions is Roma. Because at least my entire childhood, teenage years, they've been spent in the gloomy, miserable reality of a Roma that was being ridiculed in Europe, that was being made fun of, that where even when you had the legends like Francesco Totti and Daniele De Rossi, nobody respected you. You made no impact in Europe. Everybody was looking to score on you. Nobody respected you. Nobody was afraid of you. And now we're talking about fifth consecutive European semifinal in the last 6 years. Now that's, you can say a lot of things about the trajectory of the club and the decision-making and what went on in the league as Roma increasingly fell out of the Champions League over the years, sure. But what we've been making up by delivering these performances, because tonight, again, we're talking about a different Roma. You know, if this was Mourinho's Roma, we can talk about that in a specific context, as in that team was trained to sustain, you know, this kind of rhythm of, okay, yes, let's shut up shop and hope for the best because we're down to 10 men. Whereas this Roma with De Rossi at the helm, this was completely new to them. Today's circumstances were so difficult, so in your face. The way they got off to such a hot start was exactly what you were looking for. That red card cuts you off. It really puts you at risk. And yet Roma respond in such a way that they end up looking good, whereas Milan end up looking foolish for a change, which is not what we're used to. Because usually in these matchups against the top teams in Italy, we are the fools. We are the ones who keep chasing the opponents, and the opponent is running lapses. So tonight, just like the decision to renew, but to announce De Rossi's long-term commitment to the club was so refreshing. You know, oh, here, you want stability, you want answers, here's your stability, here's your answers. De Rossi's staying. What do you think about that? You know,
well, hold on, let's get to that. I mean, what did you think of the timing of that? Because
A lot of people were conflicted. I thought
we have to put it in. Hold on, put in that. I have to somehow find a way to cue it up. The meme of shock.
First, I will insert it right now. Shock. For me, it wasn't. It was the logical move, because in so many people that were begging for the club to make it clear what their intentions are with Mourinho, so many people now took issue with this decision, whereas this decision was exactly that. It was meant to reaffirm the trust in a young manager in a game where the media made out this game to be like some sort of crossroads for De Rossi, where if he fails, he's out, you know? They made it out to be like it was some sort of last stand, you know, comparable to the one that Stefano Pioli probably tonight's match determines his fate. Whereas De Rossi, I don't think this was ever going to be the situation for him. Completely different
circumstances.
Yeah, I went
on a small, very small Milan podcast, and they said this tonight. It is the match of the future of two managers, and they asked me if I agreed with that. I said, "What?
You can't do that. This was not to be the case. This was never going to be the case. But what the Friedkins did was make it public. Put the talk to sleep. Put the rumors to sleep. No, he's not moving. He's not going to Fiorentina. We're not hiring Antonio Conte. We believe in him. We believe in something. This was an announcement of the intention to make him. Though no negotiations have taken place. There is still nothing written down. There is still no, but the idea in my mind is to make this a really long commitment. I don't see this announcement happening if the club and De Rossi are not exactly on the same page, because this is a big deal of announcing the intention to continue working together. So,
It is so anti. I have to do from the Sopranos. The voice of Silvio, where he says, I can't do that accent, but
anti-Italian discrimination.
It is. It goes against the entire antithesis of everything Italian football. To announce that, which, by the way, announcing that, I know this is more sort of a granular thing that, I don't know, maybe only inside the media you would care about it, but you totally cut off at the knees any of this talk. Okay, well, they're going to move forward with him. You know there's going to be discussion of, is it a one-year contract? And if it is a one-year contract, oh, well, they're not making a long-term commitment. If it's a three-year contract, oh, my goodness, they're committing 3 years to this guy. You cut that off at the legs, that sort of discussion. You say, yeah, we're going to move forward with him. You don't announce a contract. You don't announce terms, anything like that. You just make it very clear, as you said, we're moving forward with him. E basta. There's no need for anything else to discuss. Speculation, rumors, putting it all to bed. This is what is happening. As for the details, we will worry about that later. I thought it was brilliant. I truly thought it was brilliant. The timing of it, in hindsight, it obviously worked out in their favor, I have to admit. It could have really come back to bite you had things gone wrong, and then it sort of looks as if you have to make a U-turn on your decision if things do not go your way. They've got the balls, I'll tell them that. I will say that without question, just to have the courage to put that out there. You have to applaud Dan and Ryan Friedkin for that. I was surprised, though. I was very surprised. As far as the performance goes, I want to go back to that because any chance I can to ream out the bald guy, we have to take it. Because I, even in his pre-match press conference, I mean, you would have thought Milan had 322 shots on goal last week and Svilar saved half and then the other half hit the post the way the guy was talking. It sometimes felt as if I watched a completely different match. Again, I have the television on behind me in the background. I can't imagine he's going to come out to say they deserved anything. But when you look at this match one, match two, this was a Roma that was decisively the better side. We're not talking about balanced and you can make a decision one way or the other. No, I refuse to accept that. I refuse to even accept the discussion of Pioli saying, well, you know, these are two very good sides. Roma exploited their chances better last week than we did. It's not even that. It's not even that Roma were more concrete. Roma showed more quality over these two matches without question. There is no one who can watch these two games and even be confused slightly as to who deserved to progress. And that is where I am left truly mesmerized because it was the exact opposite in both games this season in the league. Roma were in neither of those. I don't care if it was the first leg was 2-1, the second one 3-1.
We flipped the script with De Rossi. Yes. We flipped the script. Yes. I mean, think about it. Think about how humiliating that was. 2.5 years of seeing Stefano Pioli completely and absolutely annihilate us time and time again. We flipped the script.
And not only did you flip the script, that's the thing. It would have been one thing to win. That in and of itself would have been quite an achievement. But they do it in a way where the playing, the gaming system, the application, the character, that's the thing that hits me most. Okay, it's not just, okay, yes, they score goals. I mean, Gianluca Mancini, I don't know what else can be said about the guy. Superb. Even Paulo Dybala. Even Romelu Lukaku. If you watch him on the goal of Paulo Dybala, he drops to his knees in absolute celebration. He misplayed the pass to El Shaarawy. He misplayed the pass. And still, his reaction... I loved his reaction so much to that goal of Paulo Dybala. I can't underscore it enough. Just how much that is a change to what it seemed like we saw in previous months, where it just seemed like these guys were pressing and pressing and pressing, and they just couldn't for the life of themselves show any sort of balls, character, anything, any personality. And then to see the team of 3 months ago to the one we saw tonight, it's, again, I hate to repeat myself, case of the body snatchers, man. I loved that. If you missed it, go watch Romelu Lukaku after Dybala just curls that past Magnon, and you see his reaction. It made me melt. I wanted to cry. I was so happy. Watching him know that even though he screwed up, it just all that matters is we found the back of the net, and we scored. That's it. I loved everything about it. I am just so stunned. If you look, because listen, after Zeki Salik gets sent off, okay, what was it, 10 minutes later where we had that VAR review of the handball, 10 or so minutes?
Less than 10 minutes later, yeah.
That we are looking at a completely different scenario if Milan are awarded that penalty. They score the penalty. And now it becomes, as they call it in the UK, squeaky bum time, I believe, is the correct term of it. It could have been a completely different scenario, but you see Roma just maintain focus, maintain character. The level of focus, that's the thing. Obviously, the win. Obviously, the goal of Mancini. Obviously, the goal of Paulo Dybala. Those go without saying. The thing that I come away from tonight, impressed of above the rest, is for them to play 60 minutes against Milan, down a man, and apply the same amount of character to hold the level of concentration, to do things that De Rossi asked of them. They didn't waver in any part of their application of what they asked of him. I can't tell you how impressed I was that they did that for 60 minutes, because the margins in which we are looking at a completely different game. Again, the handball. They also had one where, who hit the post? Was that Teo Hernandez? Was that Teo hit the post? I mean, the fine margins. And how often have you and I come on here and we talk about episodes and we talk about certain, just these very fine margins in a game where you have one episode go one way. If it goes the other way, we are looking at a completely different result. They all went the Roma's way. And the reason they go your way, sometimes it has to do with luck. Other times, you either make your own luck or you maintain focus, you maintain character, concentration, and you bend without breaking. And that is what they did. How many times this season? I mean, we could go through so many games where they throw their arms up in the air and they look, they play like insolent children at times. I mean, that match against Genoa, it just...
Yeah, and this was the case for Milan today.
I got
from Milan, I got Roma vibes, honestly. Great point. It felt like they were the ones now playing with that desperate energy of helplessness that we've seen Roma in the past have. Like, where Milan just were so frustrated with not being able to break Roma down. They were so frustrated also with themselves, with their performance. Everything pointed in the opposite direction that we are used to. So once again, we find ourselves in a position where we have to applaud Roma. We have to applaud Roma for the attitude, because in these games, at least in Europe, at least in this stage of the competition, they want it. They want it badly. And this is the third year in a row where they want it badly, and you get really the sense of a team that is highly determined, that is more determined than its opponent. And when they win because they deserve to win. So that's what it's all about. It's about watching a team play with merit. That's what Roma have been doing.
I mean, they have. And I look at some of the data from this match, and I will throw it up there one more time. It's striking to me to see the disparity in just some of these numbers. Milan, fouls tonight. The number of fouls tonight by Milan, 20. Roma, 5. Shots by Milan, 20, only 4 of which were on target. The discipline and the character is the thing I walk away from this absolutely impressed by, struck by, because I can't recall a turnaround like this with the same group of players in the exact same season. There is something cathartic again about this having come against Milan, because that's where it all ended with Jose Mourinho. And then it just seems like there's been rebirth doesn't even give it the correct description, in my opinion, because De Rossi has done it. It's not a rebirth to me. It makes it seem like, you know, you've made some changes and you know, the entire thing was overhauled. I mean, De Rossi is doing this with essentially the exact same squad that Jose Mourinho had. We can talk about the specifics as to obviously the formation and things like that, but there is something from a character, a psychological, a mental point of view that I am fascinated by with this, because if you would have asked me, Roma, they have to play a match for 60 minutes against Milan 3 months ago, I'm thinking it's the typical seven conceded or something like that. I never would have envisioned they would be capable of something like this. As I am speaking right now, are you watching? They're going into penalties, Benfica and Marseille. Do you have a preference? Because I'm assuming, that is me assuming, they go to a final.
Okay, well, you want to, okay. John, you're the same guy who missed the plane to go to Tirana. I don't want to, you know.
You don't want to bring up bad feelings. Thanks for that.
I'm just saying.
Bayer Leverkusen, man. Come on. They got.
I'm just saying, let's Javi
Alonso
not.
Has to ship it
just,
tonight. Come on.
He's I'm got just to saying, ship it, I pack will it up. Not.
He won the league. No reason to
I'm
to
just, dude, I'm more. Just saying. I'm just saying. I do not wish to discuss finals with you because you haven't been the luckiest person in recent years when it's come to finals. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You missed the plane for one, and in the other one, you got a scheduling conflict last minute, which prevented you from going. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, people forget. Well, listen, and the Tirana thing, it's one thing to having missed my layover flight. It's where I get stuck.
I know. I remember you recording. I remember recording with you the post-match pod, and you were sitting for like 14 hours in Zurich. So I know that. So that's why I'm saying, let's not think about that. Let's not go there because it will not work out for you either way, okay? I'm just, you know, just let's keep the expectations
down. What is your early feeling of it? What is your early feeling of this semifinal?
My early feeling of this semifinal is that anything goes right now because as Roma have proven time and time again, they may not be. I mean, Bayer Leverkusen are unbelievable. They're undefeated for the season. They're undefeated for the season in Bundesliga. They haven't lost. They've been on a roll. They are in the history books. They've accomplished something that will have to be studied. But we're talking about Roma and the Europa League. So in my mind, there are two scenarios. Either Roma show up and show out and really do the their thing. They handle the business their way. Or they get steamrolled because the way this Bayer Leverkusen works. I mean, that's how... I'm telling you, that's how it works. I mean, there's Bayer Leverkusen. It's one or the other. It's either you handle your business... Or you end up being thrown out of the car in the middle of the desert by Xabi Alonso.
Okay. Well, you put the ball on tonight very nicely. Listen, I don't know what to expect. In my mind, my first reaction was I tried to somehow rationalize how the performance of Roma against Bayer Leverkusen last year in the Europa League matters. It doesn't. It doesn't. We can't pretend.
I mean, let's remember the performances that we saw this season against Slavia Praha. You know, you go from that to you go from that.
No,
with to this
no,
tonight.
Roma just no. They just made it to a semifinal. I'm not going to remember.
No,
that.
That's what I'm saying. Is think about how they turn it on. Like we are talking about a completely different team against Slavia Praha. That's easily one of the worst performances of the season of a team that is completely disinterested. As soon as the lights become brighter, which is something I never thought I would say about Roma ever. As soon as the lights go brighter, they turn up. They show up. They deliver. So that's why I'm saying. If you go up against Bayer Leverkusen, a team that is on a historic run, you still have chances because Roma right now are in a completely different galaxy when it comes to these games at this stage in European competitions.
The thing I find most striking is my oldest child, just under the age of 10 years old. This is like normal, Roma progressing deep into European competitions. And I look back, you made a brief mention of this early on when you were younger. I think back, myself at the same age, I mean, at the age of 10, either right around after Roma win the one Scudetto. But you know, my initial years, you know, under the age of 10, being introduced to Roma, I mean, pathetic. After the Scudetto, I'd be close, not quite pathetic, but nothing. Luciano Spalletti, okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for the Coppa Italia. I mean, if we want to simply discuss Roma, though, from a European perspective, you compare this run that they're on now to the previous 20, 30 years. I don't know if we will ever experience this again as long as you and I are alive on this planet, which is a very jarring thing to think of. But if we simply go by the Historia de Roma and the actual maths on it, the odds of this ever happening again are very, very, very low. Very low. It's so bizarre to be here again. And it's, I know it's difficult because we live in this world now with football where you have all of these big clubs from the Premier League and they might scoff at something like this, but, and maybe even we are even to an extent making too much of it. I don't know. I don't have a great perspective on it because guess what? We're not here very often. And the fact that this has happened in the past few years, I'm lost for words because, man, I think of even not too long ago, go 10 years ago, with Rudy Garcia in Champions League. I mean, you're getting pumped by Bayern, you know? You're making a fool of yourself. I don't know what changed.
Bayer Leverkusen. Remember?
Yes.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. Yeah. I just, to be in this situation, there is some sweetness to it because we have never at any point even had mild expectations for Roma in Europe. I mean, they were so bottom of the barrel low for Roma that to be in another semifinal, I don't think that can be taken for granted because there has been so little of Roma in Europe to enjoy prior to this run that this is something that I think should not be, again, just assume that they will do and expect it. Nobody can come tonight, even after having eliminated Milan, and thought that this was feasible. Andy, this was not, even to be in a race for top four, not feasible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Think about where we were in mid-January when we were discussing De Rossi's appointment. It was like a funeral home. I mean, it was, you know, I was here singing, "Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, they're calling." You know, I mean, I was ready to call it quits. I felt like the season is gone and now we just have to show up just enough to at least leave with some honor, with some dignity. But what Roma have done under De Rossi is pick themselves up, put the pieces back together and try new things and become more of a team in doing so, because this team now moves differently. They love each other. They empathize with each other, with the coach. They are fully engaged. Everything seems to be clicking, even in a game like today, where after 30 minutes, you're down to 10 men, your starting striker is off the pitch, and you have Tammy Abraham, who hasn't played in 9 months, playing considerable minutes for you. So that's what I'm saying. And you have to hold an advantage by a team that has a really good attack. And yet you manage to control the match. You manage to make Milan look foolish, look ineffective. I mean, what else can you ask for?
And that was the department of the pitch that you and I both said is the greatest concern. Not only Tammy Abraham, obviously that goes without saying, the fact that he was able to play considerable minutes tonight is a testament to, I guess, the thinness of the squad of Roma. I have to rely on a guy who just returned from a broken knee. Smalling, I want to make a quick note of it because you want to talk about things ending and beginning, new beginnings against Milan. you bring this up every time, and I very much appreciate it, because now, again, this is the elimination of Milan by the hand of Roma. Chris Smalling was a non-factor this entire season. A non-factor, a zero. He, a non-entity for the entire season. These two matches, two within a week. I don't even know what to say, because it defies common sense. It defies everything to see the guy be broken for 6, 7, 8 months, just gone. We don't even know what happened to him. Remember how many times in like December, January, it's, oh, he's close. It's just going to be a few more weeks. And then it goes all the way into like March, and we finally see the guy for the first time. He was superb again. I cannot underscore enough. There is something about him.
He's a key presence for this team, and he's built himself a reputation of being a big time player for Roma if available. That's why his recovery was so important, and this uncertainty around him was so painful. The fact that when he came back, he put in a really good performance, and then he got hurt again, and he was out for another month. And then you see him on these occasions. I mean, he plays a few minutes in the derby. He keeps his cool. Then he plays big time against Milan in San Siro and puts in an unbelievable performance that reminds you exactly why you renewed this contract. And then tonight, again, he makes you understand why Roma keep giving him a chance despite his fragile condition, because he's so precious. I mean, if there is something akin to a defensive leader, Smalling is it. He's a silent leader, but he's just fundamental for the solidity of this team as a whole, not even of the defense itself. He leads by example. He is a pro's pro, man. If I look at Roma's successes and the biggest successes over the last few years, I can tell you that probably 80% of the time, Chris Smalling is involved. Whenever Roma succeed, Chris Smalling is right there, and he's probably one of the best players in that particular match.
I suppose I want to just end this episode on one thing that I find interesting. And again, I find to be a testament to Roma, to Daniele De Rossi. If I just would have told you before tonight, even with Roma having a one-man advantage, in the second half, you would have neither Paulo Dybala or Romelu Lukaku on the pitch. In your mind, you are probably thinking something has gone terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. And the fact that Roma were able to do what they did tonight, add Cristante Indica to that part as well. Add them to the discussion. You have your confidence on a positive result is probably sub-zero. Your belief that if I told you that is a scenario prior to kickoff, you're probably thinking, oh, shit. What has happened here? I mean, to see Roma do that tonight with the likes of, you know, a newly returned Tammy Abraham, with a newly returned Chris Smalling, to see them do it with Bove, who, you want to talk about roller coaster of a season. I mean, that poor guy. I mean, to go from the wonderkind of
the wonderkind and the only consistent player for Roma for the first half of the season, you know.
But you want to talk about the non-entity. I mean, Daniele De Rossi
to being a non-entity. Yeah, to being a non-entity, and then, you know, to struggling for playing time.
But he does well tonight.
No, he does well, but I'm just saying that's been a roller coaster of the season, because first half of the season, in a stretch of games where Roma are abysmal, Bove is the bright light. Then De Rossi comes in. Bove fades into the background. Whenever he plays, he's not good. He plays against Lecce. He plays against Fiorentina. He's not good. He's struggling. He's inconsistent. He makes mistakes. Tonight, again, he's ready, and he contributes, and he's vital, and he replicates what Brian Cristante does on the pitch so well.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing missing was that sort of Canadian swagger. Beyond that, Bova has most of has mostly everything else of Cristante. I still can't find the words. This is unbelievable. I want to kind of go crazy. Yeah. We've been doing this, and it was a funeral 3 months ago. It was a funeral, a black tie affair.
Yeah. Oh, Danny boy.
Print out the cards. Get the pallbearers. Lower it into the ground. Season over. Season over. It's done. And then to be here now, It is surreal.
It is surreal. Yeah, it is surreal because we honestly thought this team doesn't have much more to give. We accepted it. We accepted it because that had been the case in prior years. Whenever you'd have like this managerial switch at this time of the year, perhaps with the exception of Luciano Spalletti when he replaced Rudy Garcia, but still. You don't really feel that engagement anymore. I mean, this was our 53rd sold out stadium under the Friedkins. 53rd sold out stadium. Roma made the biggest box office from ticket sales for this match. So the engagement is there. The fans are there. The energy is there. The team is there. It's unbelievable because we really thought we were dead in the water in January. Fast forward 3 months, we're here. It sounds like as if we've had a whole bag of coke, as if we went to some questionable disco with a questionable player on this team that I'm not going to name because we don't want to get sued. But we're not high. We're perfectly fine. I'm having just a glass of perfectly normal water. No, you're not going to fool me with your five children. No way in hell, man. It's good. It feels good. We're great. But it all comes exactly. There is a journey behind us. Yes. And there is a journey in front of us. This is by no means. I mean, there is already a video circulating of Xabi Alonso and his staff celebrating the fact that they're going to face Roma. So the opponent is not scared. The opponent is not scared. The opponent perhaps sees us in a different light, but we have to enjoy it. Again, I just want to stress this fact that for years we were being kicked in the mud in Europe. We were being made fools out of. We were the laughing stock of Europe. Right now, we're not that anymore. Right now, we are doing things that the child version of me would have only dreamed of. Okay, dreamed of. So enjoy it. Enjoy it because nights like these, they matter. They don't come too often. You have to make the best of it. Roma, once again, they deliver a precious, precious result in Europe.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Okay, we're going to leave it there. We will be back after the weekend. Enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy, enjoy. The only thing I can impart is enjoy. If this is the last time it ever happens when we are alive, which again, mathematically is fairly high, not to rain on the parade, but enjoy it. Enjoy it. This is fun. Imagine where we were 3 months ago. Fast forward to now. This is fun. Oof. My goodness. Okay. Until next time. Ciao.